Well, there we are. That is Amen. Amen. Don't know. That's by For King and Country. That is going to be my first question for Joel Smallbone. He's one of the brothers, Joel and Luke Smallbone, that form For King and Country. He's on the line now. Joel, put us out the misery on this one first of all. Is it Amen or Amen?
Well, I think it depends on which country you're a part of. Because if it's America, then it's definitely Amen. You know, they like to say their A's. But I'd like to think in the British Commonwealth, you know, in Australia and Canada, you know, England and so on, it's Amen.
Right.
Sounds more reverent.
Well, it's your song. You can tell us. You tell us. I mean, this is very interesting because you're very much billed as Australian duo For King and Country. But as I understand it, you're from Australia, but you moved over to Nashville at a very tender age. You're about 5 years old. That must have been pivotal in your success, isn't it? You're the right sort of music in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, well, we had always... So I'm one of seven kids, and Luke is the other half of the band. He's my younger brother. And we were actually sort of arch nemesis growing up, and in some ways music brought us back together. But our family had always been part of the music industry. Dad was a promoter in Australia and lost about $250,000 in the early 90s on a tour that went sideways, and that really provoked the move to the States. And,
right.
And our sister became an artist, and Luke and I sort of were the road crew. So we did the stage managing and the lighting and the background vocals, and that's where we really fell in love with music. And so it's very much in the family. It is a lot of ties still to Australia, but as you well said, Neil, the dominant amount of our lives now have been in the United States.
And boy, do they love you. Let's just quickly go through the list of awards here. Four-time Grammy Award winners. You've got 7 number ones, 10 top tens, 6 Grammy nominations, 5 Billboard Music Award nominations, 2 American Music Award nominations. Your song's been featured on the Emmys, the Super Bowl, Sunday Night Football. You've been on all the national television. They love you, don't they? You're obviously doing something very right.
When you put it like that, Neil, in the short list, which, first of all, I just feel better about myself just hearing that list. But we have, I will say, genuinely, from the day we stepped foot in the United States, we have felt very loved by this country and very received. So we are happy to be here.
Now, it's Christian music, and I say that, and I hope you'll forgive me if I'm not, you know, I'm raising the subject because here in the UK, Christian music can, if you just even use the phrase, it can tend to sort of pigeonhole you a bit. Most of the people I would know would turn around and go, well, isn't that the other stuff Cliff Richard does? And isn't that what he does at Christmas? And it just isn't, is it really? For you guys, you've just obviously worked with it. I don't know. Is it a strength for you, do you think, especially in America at the moment?
Well, it's very much just where we've found ourselves. You know, it's sort of people like their labels. There's no doubt about that. But we, you know, we're Jesus lovers and always have been and come from a very rich heritage and history of faith. And so there's no question that a lot of the music, be it a love song or a song about, you know, loss or a song about coming together, whatever it might be, are always looked through kind of the lens of Jesus and this kind of great hope, and Christian radio. Speaking of America, America has this sort of large sect of Christian radio that's been really incredible to us in rallying around these songs. But I'll say, I think our hope is that music is genuinely, as you know, and I think agree, Neil, is a universal language.
Absolutely.
And can meet you anywhere. And there are a load of people writing from a lot of positions of belief. So many people rally around these songs. And so our hope is that you know, there's no criteria of faith that you need to have in order to appreciate, hopefully, and consume our music. In fact, one of the great pieces of news I've gotten in the last couple of weeks, I got a call from a guy named Gary Smith, who's a friend over in the UK and a promoter over there, and he called and said, do you realize that BBC Two just played your new single, Amen. And that he was just so excited about it. And so I take a lot of excitement in hearing those types of stories, that music can will just find its way into people's homes and phones and onto the radio. You know?
Well, and that's the beauty of it now, isn't it? With social media and online streaming as well. The incredible amount of 1.1 billion on-demand streams across your catalogue. That's huge. And you did a live stream event to 2.5 million viewers across all your social media platforms. So yeah, people do know about you, and people are finding your music and they're finding the videos as well. You did a film with your brother when people blamed you as that was the reason why there was a bit of a gap between your second album and your third album, because you were busy off doing the movies. But has that helped as well with social media, the fact that actually you're quite comfortable in front of a camera?
Well, for King and Country, even down to the name, right, which I will give a tip of the hat and a nod to the mother country for the name for King and Country.
Thank you kindly.
It's always been my pleasure. It's always been a theatrical affair for us, musically. Mm. You know, it seems this beautiful... Sorry, my mum's just stepping in. But it's been this beautiful kind of journey of... kind of with live as well as with our music videos and so on, really capturing kind of the imagination, if you will. And so I've had this great sort of affinity with film and short films and music videos. And so ever since we were kids, our brother Ben, who's my older brother, we've done, you know, films up in the backwoods of my parents' property and the whole thing. And so the chance to do a feature length film and that particular movie, Priceless, circled around the reality of human trafficking and the fact that this is a very real, speaking of epidemic, a very real epidemic across our globe. And so it was in good form with sort of highlighting a true-to-life story as well in the process. So I think that stuff actually fuels the fire, if you will, of creativity, because you're just actually having another look at it from a different angle, you know?
Indeed. Now, you really have, as we said earlier, you've done very well. Yeah, your first album really went straight to the top of the Billboard Top Christian Albums chart. It was up there for 41 weeks. That's very good for a debut single, and everything else has done that. You look back now, it's 10 years you've been doing this, and so you've got the successes, you've got the awards, you've done the movie. What's next? What would you like to do? Are you just happy building on what you're doing?
Well, look, I feel a bit of survivor's remorse in talking about the pandemic on our very micro level. You'd mentioned, you know, we've been a band for 10 years and really we've been a touring band for 10 years. And
right.
So I was married 7 years ago, and there's a great sacrifice that comes along with the beauty of being able to present in front of people in a physical form. And that is you leave the ones you love.
Mm.
And the pandemic has really offered us an opportunity with all the other mixtures of and layers of it, of fear for loved ones and you know, how's this going to impact economies and all the rest of it in our future. But on a very kind of micro present level, it's offered us the ability to be at home with our families in a way that we never had been in the 10 years of the band. And I think that has been so important and pivotal in our personal lives. And it's also offered us the opportunity to go back in the studio uninhibited, because every record we've done has basically been in the background of a tour bus, so you're traveling, you're sort of fitting it in between this and that. And right now we're in the studio 4 or 5 days a week and just creating kind of full time. And that has unlocked us, I think, as a duo and as a band in a way that we've not been unlocked in the past. And so the biggest focus now, Neil, is getting this music, some new music to people as quickly as possible, be it in the form of a single or an EP or full record. We're still sort of figuring that out, but the music will kind of guide us. But it's, I think it's more important than ever as people try and piece their lives back together post-pandemic, that they have a soundtrack and hopefully some positivity and whatnot to guide them in the process.
It's interesting that you think it's kind of given you a chance just to stop, take stock, and maybe adjust a little bit how you do. That luxury of time to just reflect on things and make some tweaks and changes. And I bet you never thought that when your brother was your nemesis that you'd actually look forward to the days when you could spend all day, every day in a studio with him. So It's been great to meet you. Thank you very much indeed for all the music and for all the stuff you've done. It's always kept us entertained, and hopefully we'll see you. We're not gonna pencil in any dates right now, but hopefully at some point we'll see you in the mother country. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to test fate right now, but yes, we're looking forward to it when it's safe and green lights. We'll be back. Rest assured, we love coming over and looking forward to doing our first kind of full tour of England next time. We'd had it sort of sketched in pencil before the pandemic, and obviously it got rubbed out, but all in good time. And Neil, appreciate your time and your thoughtfulness.
No, absolutely.
Today, my friend,
it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Joel. Love to everybody there, and we'll see you in the UK soon.
All right, my friend, bless you.